everybody. This is Ariane Smith.
And this is Tiffany Hales. And we are the Twim Sisters. And we are back tonight to record another podcast.
That's right. Last week we got to hear from Jeff and his wife, which was a delight.
I loved hearing them together.
I know. They were so fun together.
They were hilarious together. And she has a great voice. Like her voice was just like all smooth.
Yeah.
And she was kind of funny because she was really, really tired when they recorded. And so she was hilarious.
Yeah, I think he needs to talk her into doing that again. That was
okay.
Fun.
So Jeff, we are giving you and your wife the two thumbs up for your podcast, and we say whatever you have to do, get Danielle to do it again.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. So several things have happened the past few weeks. You have a mission.
I do.
Mission call to update us on.
So the last time that we podcasted, I was touting how Shelby had put in her mission papers and we were anxiously awaiting her mission call. And she did receive her mission call.
Yay.
Da-da-da-da-da. She is going to Lubbock, Texas.
So exciting.
Very exciting. You know, here's what's really interesting is, you know, of course we had the big map out and everybody was putting pins in the map where they thought she was going to go. Mm-hmm. She had some sort of a dream that she was going to go to Texas. And so she pinned Texas, although she didn't pin Lubbock. I think it was probably, you know, Dallas, San Antonio, you know, one of those. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't too surprised. She just really had a strong feeling she was going to go to Texas.
That's so cool.
So she wasn't too surprised when she opened it up. She reports to the Missionary Training Center on the 23rd of January. She'll be there for a couple of weeks before she heads out. She has been so excited since she got her call. She has Googled all things Lubbock so that she is familiar. The mission geographically is pretty big. It's like two Utahs put together.
Wow.
So it's geographically a pretty big mission.
So car mission?
Well, she does have to have a bike.
Okay.
So I, you know, there's probably both just kind of depending on the area. The mission is very progressive in terms of social media. They have an Instagram page for the mission.
Fancy.
Which gets updated on a pretty regular basis because she was on there looking at pictures from some sort of, I think, a district activity in October, you know, right before she got her mission call. So
okay, that's fun. So you'll probably get to see pictures of her on there.
Exactly. Yeah, we will. And the mission president down there is a gentleman by the name of David Hales.
Oh, relative? We must be related.
I'm sure we have to be related to him because I don't think in the church that you can have the name Hales and not be related because we all started out over in England and migrated over here. But he, of course, is not a direct relation that we know. You know, I'm sure we probably share some common grandfather from, you know, maybe five or six generations ago. His background is, I can't remember if he grew up in Arizona or New Mexico, but ended up in California. He was in California when he was called as a mission president.
Very cool.
So.
That's so exciting. So now you're doing all the prep.
Doing all the prep, you know, getting all the clothes. You know, she has a whole list of things that, you know, she needs to get done. She does have to have a smartphone to take with her on her mission.
Oh, really?
Yes. But
so they're bringing their own now?
They're bringing their own, but there's very specific requirements for the smartphone. Like it can't have like, I think it can just have like basic stuff on it and then they put whatever they want on it. The church does and puts all sorts of parameters and controls and this and that and whatnot. You can only bring an Android phone. No Apples.
Really?
Apples are bad. Bad apples. No Apple products.
That's so weird.
It is. Except, you know what? The Android phones are, you know, if you're not getting a Samsung or something
that's
like that.
True. They're cheaper.
They are less expensive. And she doesn't, you know, have to have a particular brand of phone. It just has to have a certain amount of memory and it has to be an Android compatible phone.
So she'll probably be one of those missions where they let you have your face, like do your social media to use for proselyting a little?
I'm kind of guessing she probably will. So, which would be good because I'm not sure, you know, how she would do with a 18-month social media fast. That's it's a little concerning to me, but.
Oh, so anyway, interesting.
Yes. So January 23rd, and then the other children can begin the fight over her belongings.
Because and her bedroom? And are her they bedroom. All fighting over her bedroom?
Well, not yet, but. My youngest, her room is on the main floor, and all of her brothers and sisters sleep upstairs. And she has just been itching to figure out a way to get up there to sleep with her brothers and sisters. Oh,
that's so funny.
I don't know what we're gonna do. We have not crossed that bridge yet. But you know, it's like, well, what do you do with their car? Who's gonna get her phone?
Oh yeah,
you know, all of those things.
That's exactly how I was when our brother went on his mission. I was the kid just younger than him. I got his car and his bedroom. It was fabulous arrangement for me.
Exactly. So what has been going on with you?
Well, we survived Halloween.
This is good.
This was a pretty low-key Halloween year. And I don't know if I've mentioned it on here before, but you know I am a Halloween Scrooge.
You're a Grinch. You're a Halloween Grinch.
Kind of a Grinch. I'm getting better now that we live in Idaho. Halloween is better here because our ward doesn't do a party and our schools don't do parties. So I only have actual Halloween, which is, I can handle actual Halloween. It's all the other Halloween.
It's all the peripheral Halloween stuff
that I can handle.
But you had the best Halloween. Explain to them why you had the best Halloween.
I had a great year. So, and I love getting my kids dressed up. That part is fun. As long as I only have to do it once.
They look adorable.
Yeah. So I got all the kids dressed up. I was feeling kind of under the weather. So the kids dressed up. My husband took them out. I stayed home with the baby because he doesn't care about Halloween. And I'm a little shy to admit that we watched Hallmark Christmas movies.
Well, I love it.
They trick-or-treated.
It's like the best thing ever.
Which is a little embarrassing, but...
Oh, no shame.
They're fun.
No shame whatsoever.
They're so cheesy. And they're on. I mean, they start them before Halloween now.
I know. It's crazy. And I mean, let's face it. They all have the same plot line. Oh, yeah. I mean, you've seen one. You've seen them all. It's just a matter of, you know, is it a princess? Does it have a British accent?
Very true.
Are they poor? Are they rich?
Very true. And they all have bad actors.
Yeah.
Bad storyline.
But they're really good.
But for some reason, I have this, I'm drawn to them at Christmas.
I am too.
I never watch them the rest of the year. And even like the day after Christmas, if I still have them on my DVR, I'm like, nope, I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's just the Christmas season that I have this desire to watch them.
I absolutely agree. And you know what?
My husband mocks me.
Oh, what man doesn't? And you know what? There are very few of my friends. I can't think of one friend who doesn't watch the Hallmark Christmas movies. Seriously, it's like, you know, this, I don't know. What's the word I'm thinking of? Like, guilty pleasure that we all engage in.
I don't know what it is.
And Hallmark is really stingy with their movies. I cut the cord on my cable a couple of years ago, and you cannot find them on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu. You know, they do some knockoffs of them, but they're just not the Hallmark ones.
They're even worse acting.
That's very true.
So I
guess you're just going to have to hit the record button, and I'm going to have to come over here and snuggle with your cute baby and watch the Hallmark movies.
So yes, it was a good Halloween year for me.
That's assuming your husband will, you know, let us indoctrinate him. Your husband may pull the plug on the baby snuggling during the Hallmark movie.
He cannot listen to this garbage.
Exactly.
So, but I have to tell you my other funny Halloween thing that happened this year. So,
and I might mention, we are sitting here eating leftover Halloween
candy.
We
are eating some leftover
Halloween
candy.
So if you hear some munchies, that's us.
We're reaping the benefits. So the candy every year is like a huge... Like, it's also a struggle for me with Halloween, with my kids, because they have no self-control, which I can't blame them. I don't either.
And they come home with so much candy.
Pounds and pounds
of
candy.
We never got that kind of candy when we were kids, ever.
It's insane what they can get.
I would have killed
in like
for that
an
kind
hour
of candy.
And a half.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long.
No.
I think it's because the houses are closer together. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the candy is always an issue for us. And I've tried everything with my kids. I've tried just letting them... Like a free-for-all, have at it. That's a disaster because they're eating candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. I've tried like super rationing. Like you may only have one piece after lunch and one piece after dinner. And that's a fight because they're like, it's my candy. Mm-hmm. We've tried throwing it all in a big bowl, like communal candy. And that still, it lasts for months and months. And it's a fight. And I'm not a super like candy Nazi. I let my kids have sugar. Yeah. But for some reason, the candy is always a problem. So I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and they do this thing called the Halloween witch.
Now, I have heard of this, but I don't know what exactly this is about.
I had never heard of this before.
Okay.
So genius. So you take like a sandwich bag size of Ziploc bag.
Okay.
And you tell your kids, you can keep this much candy.
Okay.
Fill it with like all your favorite things.
Okay.
And then if you leave the rest of the candy on the porch, a witch will come in the night and she will trade your candy for a prize.
Oh.
So
very interesting.
This was kind of amazing. It
okay.
worked. And I even talked my 11-year-old into it, even though she knows.
Yeah.
Because she's 11. She's smart.
Because I don't know. I would have been hard pressed as a kid if I had as much candy as they got to go, oh, you know, I don't know what the witch is going to bring me, but I got a whole pile of candy here. So I don't know if I'm willing to give that up.
My 11-year-old wavered. My two younger girls were like so on board. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll trade my candy for a prize. My 11-year-old was iffy, like up till the last minute.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of assure her, it'll be worth it. Yeah. And so then she decided to do it.
The Halloween witch is left with this big old pile of candy.
Oh.
What does the Halloween witch do with her candy?
There was probably 8 or 10 pounds of candy. There was so much candy.
Speaking of the holidays, we have marched through Halloween. We are headed to Thanksgiving. And then, of course, after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. Well, one of my favorite things about Christmas is the Tabernacle Choir Christmas concert. Love it, love it, love it. I've had the opportunity to attend in person a couple of times, but this year I so wanted tickets. Their guest artist this year is Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh.
I love Kristen Chenoweth. If you don't know who she was the actress who played Glinda in the original Broadway production of Wicked. She's this teeny tiny little blonde thing, and then she opens her mouth to sing, and you just wonder, where does that voice come from? She just has this absolutely incredible voice. And so the way that they do this is they have a Saturday that they release the tickets.
Uh-huh.
And they release the tickets at 10 a.m. and you have to get online. The tickets are free, but you have to get online and you have to have an account and you log into the account and then you get put in a queue. And the queue like recycles and redoes itself every 30 seconds. And so when that 30 seconds is up, if there's an opening, they slam you into the opening. If there's not, then the 30 seconds restarts. So I made it through the queue probably 3 times, maybe 4 times.
Oh.
So then I go to put in the tickets that I want, the date that I want, and all my information, and I hit submit. And it like does the little circle thingy that it does on your computer for a few minutes. And then boom, I'm out. It doesn't go through.
Sad.
So I was so discouraged.
Was it just so many people trying to get in?
I think it was so many people trying to get in. And I had wanted 4 tickets because my plan was, I thought, I'm going to take my 3 daughters down there. We're going to have girls trip. We're going to see the lights on Temple Square, you know, maybe do a little Christmas shopping, see the Christmas concert. I thought it would be such a fun activity. But no, it was not to happen. So I was online for about an hour, and after about an hour, I had a really busy Saturday, and I was just like, I have to give this up. I can't keep trying. So I was feeling a little discouraged, and later on that day, I got on Facebook, and one of my really good friends down in Utah, she was able to get on, and she got 2 tickets. And she was planning on going. None of her kids were interested in going with her. And so she put it out there, you know, is anybody interested in going? So I immediately snapped on that. And I said, I want to go. I love Kristen Chenoweth. Please, please pick me.
Oh.
So I'm going to go down there and I'm going to just by myself. I'm going to go to the concert with her.
Fun.
So our tickets are for Saturday night. So it'll be just really great. I am so excited.
That will be so fun.
I will return and report on the Tabcat concert.
That's right. With Tabcats
with Kristen Chenoweth.
Okay, that's so fun. The other one I've always wanted to go to is the Lower Lights.
Oh, I love the Lower Lights.
Which we've talked about on here before. They don't do very many concerts, but they always do a Christmas concert. And every year I think, I want to go to that. But it always falls on a bad day.
Yeah. Well, really, is there any good day in December? Yeah.
That's true.
There's, you know, I mean, if you live down there, you could probably make that work. But the problem is we don't live down there. And so you have to plan.
That's true. Well, that will be so fun.
Yeah. So super excited about that.
So first story we have this week that was in the news on LDS Living and on Deseret News is a story about President Nelson's South America tour, which he's just wrapped up. He kind of visited all over down there. He helped dedicate a new temple in Chile. he was making the rounds, speaking at lots of meetings, elders.
He was speaking Spanish. I had no idea how many languages the man speaks. He speaks like four or five different languages.
Huh? Isn't that crazy?
It's completely crazy to me.
That will come in very handy.
Yes. Yes. So. Yes, it will. And so, yeah, so he just rips off some Spanish to those Latin American saints.
Amazing. So there's this quote that is going around from one of the meetings that he spoke in. It is going around the internet like a wildfire.
Oh, yes. I've seen it everywhere.
Everybody quoting this. People are very excited. So in one of his talks that he was giving, he was talking about all the changes and revelation, new revelation for the church. And he mentioned how this is a church of continual revelation. And he said, wait till next year and then the next year. Eat your vitamin pills. Get some rest. It's going to be exciting.
Dang.
And people are very excited about this.
Obviously, people have a right to be excited about it because you look at just everything that's changed just in the last 365 days.
Right.
It's mind-boggling.
I know. And then there was another article that kind of goes along with it where they had interviewed his wife, Sister Nelson, and she was talking about just how alive he is with this new calling and how he likes to think outside the box. And she was saying, you know, he's not changing things just for the sake of changing things, that he really puts thought into it. But if he thinks that something should be changed or if we should do something differently, if it will, you know, move the work forward, he's going to do it. He's not going to hang on to traditions and, and he's willing to do that. So it was kind of fun to hear from her perspective.
Well, and one of the things that the article says in there that I really like is he says, you know, we're not just going to do something because it's tradition. You know, we're going to look at why are we doing this and examine the why and see if, essentially see if the why is still relevant.
Right.
If the why is still relevant as to why we're doing this, then we'll keep doing it. If the why isn't relevant, then, you know, we need to look for another solution. And I love that because I have always been a very outside the box thinker. And so I appreciate that quality in him. And I think it is so uncharacteristic of individuals of his generation.
Yeah.
Because you look at members of the church of his generation who have grown up with the church being a certain way.
Right.
And a lot of times they can really get stuck in, we do it this way because we've always done it.
Yeah.
And he's not that way. He's like, we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do, what moves the work forward, and what brings saints to Christ.
Right. Yeah. So I was thinking about this on Sunday because we had council meeting and it dawned on me like, oh, we're probably not going to have council meetings anymore. And if that's the case, so I asked a friend of mine in the Relief Society presidency, I was like, hey, are these going away? And she was like, yeah, these are going to be done. And I've really enjoyed the council meetings in our Relief Society. They've been, we all sit in a circle and our Relief Society presidency has been so thoughtful about the topics that we discuss and really promoting good discussion. And we've had great discussion. I don't think it's probably like that in every ward. In fact, if I think back to some of the previous wards we've lived in, a council meeting could be kind of dangerous. And I bet the Relief Society presidency has like super anxiety over the comments.
Hyperventilating in a paper bag Saturday night.
How are they going to reel people in? Anyway,
Keep it under control, ladies.
I have enjoyed the council meeting. Yeah. And it dawned on me that, oh, there's only one more in December. And then we're moving on.
You know, and I've been kind of meh on the council meetings. I mean, they've been okay. You know, there hasn't been anything that I've been like, in other words, I'm not going to per se miss them. I think it was an interesting 12-month experiment. I think at best, maybe I only have one more. We didn't do a council meeting this last Sunday. This last Sunday, our bishopric, for a third hour brought all of the men and the women together and they showed two different videos and they talked about them. The first video that they showed was the new curriculum, which I believe is called Come Unto Me. And the video was all about how to use the new curriculum. And the video had snippets of people who had actually been using the new curriculum in some of the pilot programs that the church had done. And what was really interesting to me in this video was these weren't just North American saints.
Right.
These were people from all over the world that had participated in this pilot program. And they talked about the things that they liked about the new curriculum, which I thought was really cool, where it's very home-based, focused, you know, church-supported. And so it really talked about, you know, how there's going to be things to study and things to ponder and discuss. And whether you have a family or whether you're single, you can sit and study that new curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Our, you know, our former bishop made an interesting comment when we were having a discussion on it. You know, he said, you know, he had a little bit of a moment of panic when the church announced it because he realized that he and his wife, you know, they were going to have to step up their game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not, and they're great people to begin with. I didn't really probably don't have to step up their game that much, but just he was feeling the weight of more responsibility as a parent to introduce and to teach these topics to his children.
Right.
So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
And then the second video that they showed us was the video that talked about how Sunday School and Relief Society are going to ping pong back and forth. And then we had a quiz. Which weeks will be a Sunday school week?
Oh, really?
Which week will be a Relief Society week? So I'm not kidding. Like, you know, they said, okay, first and third Sundays are going to be Sunday school. Second and fourth are going to be Relief Society. So then the first counselor in our bishopric pulls his phone up and picks a random date in June and says, folks, do you think this will be a Sunday school week? Or do you think this will be a Relief Society week?
Oh, you really did have a quiz.
Oh, we had a quiz.
Okay,
he was very serious about our quiz.
That's funny. I will say, I'm really going to miss going to Relief Study every week.
Yeah.
So Sunday school.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad saying that, but
I know
Relief Society every week. I just love.
I do
so
too.
I'm going to miss that.
I am going to miss that. Here's what I think is going to be so weird. Okay. I don't think it's going to be weird necessarily to go from sacrament meeting directly to Relief Society, because I have to admit, some weeks that might happen in my situation. I might not quite make it to Sunday school. I might get delayed on my trip down the hall. And by the time I get there, it's Relief Society.
Oh.
But what I do think, I know. Well, I'm ministering, folks. I am out there talking to my sisters, ministering.
There you go.
What I do think is going to be really strange is to get up and leave and go home after Sunday school.
Yeah, that's
going to be weird.
That
really
weird. Feel weird. So we got our, did they announce your church time yet?
Yes, we have our church time.
We are, I'm pretty happy about it because we were due to be on the dreaded 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock schedule, which parents of napping babies everywhere dislike.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine because your baby would have been, he is what, about 8 months old by the time your 1 o'clock schedule starts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tricky.
Tricky.
Anyways, I am quite pleased because we will now be, we're 11 to 2 right now.
Yes.
And at the new year, we'll just be noon to 2.
Oh.
Which is perfect.
That is not bad at all.
Yeah.
Well, we are on 9 to noon right now. Mm-hmm. And so our new meeting time will be 10:30 to 12:30.
Oh, that is the coveted time.
I think that is the sweet spot as far as time goes because you get to do a little bit of sleep in on Sunday morning.
Yep.
I can't think of a more ideal time to go to church than 10:30 because quite frankly, my brain doesn't wake up till about 11. So I might actually not sleep through sacrament meeting. And then I'm out by 12:30, a little bit of lunch, family time in the afternoon, or a lovely nap.
That's the perfect time.
Perfect. So yes, change afoot in 2019.
Very exciting.
All right, let's move on to our next story. This story is kind of a sad story. This story involves a gentleman by the name of Brent Taylor, and he is the mayor of North Ogden, but he's also a major in the National Guard Reserve down in Utah, and he was on his fourth tour of duty in Afghanistan over the weekend, and he was killed. It was a bit unusual for a couple of reasons. First of all, because he is actually an elected official right now who was on a leave of absence to go do this tour of duty.
Right.
And he is also a member of the church. He has a wife and they have 7 children that range in age from 13 to 11 months.
Wow.
So very, very sad. He was a BYU graduate in political science, had a master's from the University of Utah in public administration, and then he was working on his PhD in international relations. So he was over there in Afghanistan helping the people of Afghanistan learn how to kind of defend themselves and protect their country as part of the troop drawdown over there. And so he wasn't in a combat zone per se, and it was actually one of the Afghan individuals that he had been training that turned on him and killed him. Oh. So very unexpected.
Right.
Very sad. Lots of prayers and wonderful things being said about him that are pouring in. One of the things, a couple of things that I read about him that I really liked. First of all, as a mayor, he was about consensus building. He would work with other mayors. He was a Republican, but he wasn't afraid to cross the aisle and work with the Democrats and realize that they had good ideas because he was about consensus building rather than being divisive, which in our current political climate is quite unusual.
Right.
So they had anticipated that he would have a really bright future in politics in Utah. So kind of sad on that regard. But there was a couple of interesting things that have been written. First of all, there was an Afghan army pilot who worked with him, and his name was Abdul Rahman Rahmani. And he sent a letter to Major Taylor's wife, and he wanted Major Taylor's wife to know what kind of a man this was. He said, you know, please, to the wife, please do not view the Afghanistan people based on the act of this one random individual. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how Major Taylor, was kind of inadvertently sharing the gospel with him, although he didn't realize that Major Taylor was sharing the gospel with him, because he said Major Taylor would talk about his wife and his kids. And he said, in our culture, we never mention the name of our wife, and we treat our women and children more as property and less as equals. And so, he, in this letter to his wife, he said, you know, my time with him, he helped change me from a conservative man to a liberal. So, which is kind of funny because I don't think anybody ever classified Major Taylor as a liberal.
Right.
But I guess the fact that his wife and children weren't property made him liberal, who can now say his wife's name out loud for the whole world to hear. And he says, Taylor taught me how to love my wife as an equal and treat my children as treasured gifts.
That's really cool.
Which, again, I mean, that is something that is espoused by our church leaders for, you know, how priesthood holders are to treat their wives and their children. And then finally, I want to read something that I saw on Facebook today. This was written by a friend of mine. She actually was she's a friend of both of ours. She was a roommate in college of our sister Ciaran, and she knows Major Taylor's wife,
Jenny.
I think Jenny is how it's pronounced. She knows, Jenny because they had done some student teaching together when they were in college. So this is what Jolie wrote. She said, I have a special request for everyone reading this today. Our good friend is currently flying to Delaware, where she, along with her 2 eldest sons, who are only 9 and 11 years old, will meet the body of their sweet husband, father, and best friend. This task would be impossible under any circumstances, but especially for those military families who are required to do this in front of the entire country. Jenny feels the weight of this task and has asked for special prayers on her behalf, that she may be able to appreciate the honor and the historical experience for all that it represents, even as she will be witnessing it through tear-filled eyes and a broken heart. Please pray for her strength, pray for her sons, pray for Brent's parents, and pray that as a country we may understand what this sacrifice means, that because of these families we are afforded luxuries that we may not even be aware of. This wonderful family is very aware they are but one of thousands of families who suffer each year under the weight of preserving our freedom and bringing freedom to so many other families around the world. Please take a minute to remember what it means to be an American and to say a special prayer for Jenny and her children, that they may feel the love of a united country in their behalf.
That's very sweet.
It's very sweet. So, you know, we are recording this podcast on the eve of the election. I'm sure by the time it's published, the election will be over and done with. But, you know, one of the things that I encouraged people on Facebook to do today was that if you really want to honor this man, go and vote tomorrow.
Right.
Exercise that basic right that we as Americans have to go and vote. So our prayers are with this family, and hopefully they feel the peace from those prayers that are being offered on their behalf.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
in other political news.
In other political news.
Or what we like to call Mormons behaving badly.
Yes.
That, I think, might be one of our favorite segments of our show.
I know.
Mormons behaving badly.
That's right. So we have some Utah politics to discuss. And Utah politics are so weird.
But always colorful.
Wild. And it's just its own world with their politics down there and all of the religious ties. And so this article came out today. It was all over the Utah newspapers about some controversial campaigns that are taking a religious turn. So there are a couple, and like we said, this just came out, you know, day before the election, but there is a campaign for the state house, state of Utah House of Representatives.
In Mill Creek.
Yes, in Mill Creek. So the incumbent is a woman who's served for many, many years. Her name is Patrice Arendt.
Arendt. Yeah, it is. It's Arendt.
And she's a Democrat. And the guy that's running against her, his name is Todd Zenger. And Todd Zenger is LDS. And he sent out a mailer recently, sounds like within the past day or two.
I know my mailbox is filled with mailers, but not from Mr. Zenger.
None like this.
No, just from C. Scott Groh.
So he sent out a mailer where he direct quoted some scripture about the title of liberty.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yes.
No.
So this is a direct quote from his mailer.
Oh, dear.
He wrote on his mailer, "Please vote in memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, our peace, our wives, and our children." Which is language very similar to the scriptures in Alma about the title of liberty.
No.
So to add a layer of weirdness, the lady he's running against is Jewish.
Of course.
So clearly he's pandering to the Mormon crowd. So it quoted her as saying, "It is vital that we judge everyone by their merits, regardless of religion or creed." And then the governor got involved.
Of course he did. I do like Governor
so
Herbert.
So the governor came to her defense. And he said that he's not always agreed with her on every topic, but he said, "I've always appreciated her dedication to preserving freedom of religion and conscience." Then the governor sent...
Okay, good for the governor for saying that.
Good for the governor for saying that. Then a little while later, the governor sent a tweet out.
Oh, no.
Where he was quoting scripture.
Oh, no.
He was quoting 2 Nephi, which...
Why do we let politicians on the Twitter?
I don't know.
There should just be a law that if you're a politician, you don't get the Twitter.
It's really true.
No Twitter for you.
It's really true.
It's
not a good idea.
So what does he say on the Twitter?
He was quoting a scripture in 2 Nephi, which says, "Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell." And he was suggesting that anybody that was mischaracterizing Arendt's positions should go read this scripture.
Oh my.
So he's getting all heated about this. So then, in a separate race, this is for the 4th congressional district race.
Yes.
Utah.
So this is a seat that is currently held by Mia Love.
Yes.
And both she and her challenger, I believe, are LDS.
They're both LDS.
And she is the first African American or Black woman Republican elected to Congress.
Right.
She's the incumbent.
Right. And she's very popular.
Yes.
From what I can tell, people love her. So the guy that's running against her is also pretty popular. His name is Ben McAdams.
Yes. He is the mayor of Salt Lake County, I believe.
He's been super involved in Utah politics. So this did not come from him, but it came from the Independent Republicans of Utah, whatever group that is. He claims no association.
Yes. And nobody claims association with them.
Nobody's claiming them right now.
Nobody's claiming them.
But they sent out a mass text message
okay.
within the past few days.
So no mailers in the mailbox.
No mailers.
This is a text message.
This is a mass text message.
Okay.
And in their text message, they said, to the Republic, they said, we want you to know you won't be excommunicated for voting for Dem Ben McAdams. He's the best Republican in the race.
No.
So they're going for the church crowd too, trying to calm everybody down. You won't be excommunicated for voting for a Democrat.
Now, I did not get my letter read across the pulpit this election season. You know, the letter that says, you know, don't drag the church into stuff.
Yeah.
Vote your conscience. That was not read in my ward.
No, they didn't read that in my ward either.
Maybe the 12 needs to get on this. Maybe we would have had less Mormons behaving badly in Utah had that letter been read across the pulpit.
Maybe. They definitely need to read that letter in Utah. Every single
I don't care whether it's a city election, whether it's a midterm, whether it's a four-year presidential election. If there's an election, that letter needs to be read.
For sure.
We could probably all quote it by memory from now.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Utah politics.
Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about is I received an email from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the email told me that I needed to get onto the family search app that I have on my phone and that they had a new tool on there that would help me find names that are ready for the temple. And so sure enough, if you go on to the family search app, you know, assuming you have it on your phone or iPad.
Yes, I did get the app recently.
There's little things down at the bottom. One says tree, task, temple, or recent, or mm-hmm. and then there's a more. If you hit temple, then what it will do is it pulls up a thing and it says select an ordinance. And you can select baptism and confirmation, initiatory, endowment, sealing to parents, or sealing to spouse. So for example, if I decide I want to go do some initiatory work, mm-hmm. I click initiatory and then it goes through my family tree and it pulls anybody who has not had their initiatory work done. And then
wow.
I know. And so then I can pick one of those people from the list. Uh-huh. I can click on it and reserve it, print my little card out, and go take it to the temple and do my initiatory
okay,
work.
So it does all the work for you?
It does all the work for you.
Or somebody else did all the work and it steals it for you?
Well, yeah.
So you can actually do the temple work?
That's exactly what happened. Somebody else did the work. It just says, did the work in terms of putting it on the family tree, the research.
Okay.
It's just saying these ordinances need to be done.
Okay, that's so cool.
I think this is a wonderful tool to help people to be able to take a family name to the temple.
Okay, that's cool. It's really cool how easy it's getting. It's like
yeah.
family history for dummies.
Well, and weren't you telling me that you just recently got the Family
yeah,
Search app?
I've had it on my phone for a little while, but I didn't really know how to use it. And
uh-huh.
one of my friends was over here, and it was around the time of she was doing her social media fast, and she was saying, oh, I've been on the app a lot more doing stuff. And I was like, show me how to use that app.
Uh-huh.
And so she sat me down and kind of gave me like
yeah.
a little tutorial. Well, you can do that. And I was amazed. I was like, oh, I had no idea that the app was, there are so many things you could actually do in the app.
Did you see all the memories
yes.
I had thrown up in the app
yes.
for our family?
All kinds of fun things.
So, okay. So this was then apparently a very good thing that came from your social media fast is mm-hmm. you learned how to use the Family Search app.
I did. I learned.
I think President Nelson would just give you a little pat on the head and
yes.
say, very good, Sister Smith.
Yes. So this story was posted on LDS Living. It does not have all the information I need, so I'm going to have to ask them to try again. But
either that or you're going to have to go find the episode.
I'm interested.
Okay.
So this guy went on Dr. Phil. They say he was a relationship expert.
Okay. Give us his name.
His name is Troy Dunn.
Okay.
Went on Dr. Phil as a relationship expert and quoted Doctrine and Covenants and Joseph Smith. First, we have to talk about Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Because I have issues.
Okay.
I cannot handle any doctor that was born of Oprah.
An Oprah offspring.
Proclaimed to be doctor, born of Oprah. I can't handle Dr. Phil. I can't handle Dr. Oz. Like, I just can't even handle the sound of their voices. And I'm shocked Dr. Phil is still on. I did not realize he still had a show.
Well, I think he's on that little known network called CBS. We never watched that.
No, apparently he has a show.
We're too busy with Hallmark Christmas movies.
And he's having relationship experts come on.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out how this guy became a relationship expert, but he goes on. It says there was an estranged father and son that were on the Dr. Phil show. And so he invited this LDS relationship expert, Troy Dunn, to come on the show and give advice. Now, he did proclaim to be LDS on the show. He must have, because it direct quotes him that he says on the show a few of the principles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that could help. And then he starts talking about agency.
Oh.
And he tells them about how everybody has the opportunity in this life to choose their own path.
Okay.
And then he talks about, he quotes, you know, we teach them correct principles and let them govern themselves, which is from Joseph Smith.
That's very Joseph Smith.
And then the third thing he talks about is he used the phrase exercising unrighteous dominion.
Ooh.
Which is used in Doctrine and Covenant.
Yes, it is.
So he's on there touting these principles. Now, this is where I need more information.
Because we don't know the context of the story of what he was, of how he was applying these principles to the gentlemen who were on the show.
Right. What are they fighting over?
Yes.
In the first place.
Yes.
How did Mr. LDS guy get on there?
Yes. Well, you know what? We did a little research. We looked up his credentials because we're like, is this guy like credentialed as in like he's some sort of a psychologist?
Does he have a degree?
Is he a self-proclaimed doctor? Yeah. Or is he just a bishop with 5 years of counseling experience?
Yes. The term relationship expert is a major red flag for me.
Yeah.
If he were a doctor, he would be claiming he was a doctor. Although I don't know if Dr. Phil is really a doctor and he claims he's a doctor. So we looked this guy up because I was curious. I was like, how did this Mormon guy end up on Dr. Phil? So he has a Wikipedia page.
Okay. Well, you know, nothing like Wikipedia.
Yes. So it says that he is an American television personality, producer, and public speaker who specializes in creating and producing television that generally includes reuniting people with long-lost loved ones.
Well, there you go.
So he's like produced TV shows in the past. It said he used to have a company called BigHugs.com that he sold to Ancestry.com.
What the heck?
I don't know. It also says he is a senior partner in a leadership training company.
Ooh. That smells.
Yeah. That screams MLM to me.
Yeah.
So, and then it says that as of July 3rd on Dr. Phil's official website, it reads that Troy has been married for 30 years and is the father of 8 children.
You can't get much more Mormon than that.
Yeah. So I don't know how he became affiliated with Dr. Phil. Somehow through his television career.
I still don't know how that exactly makes him a relationship expert, other than the fact that, like, I'm guessing he's been a bishop.
Yeah. No, it's very questionable. But are we surprised?
No. It is Dr. Phil.
This is who he's turning to now.
All right. Okay. In other entertainment news, we have Donnie and Marie. As many of you know, they have a show in Las Vegas. They play at the Flamingo. They started that show about 10 years ago. And I think they started the show, it was either right after Marie was on Dancing with the Stars or Donnie was on Dancing with the Stars. Donnie was on first and was very successful. And then Marie went on and she was very successful. And I think it was right after that they started their Las Vegas show because they had this huge resurgence in their popularity. So when they originally booked this Flamingo show, it was supposed to only be 6 weeks, but it was so hugely popular. They've been there for 10 years now.
Wow.
But alas, their time is coming to an end. Their last show will be November 16th, 2019. So you have about a year. If you have not been to Vegas, and I've not been to Vegas, I've not seen their show. I hear it's a variety show. But if you want to see Donnie and Marie in Vegas, you got about a year.
Better go now, and you better go to your pageants
now. Exactly. You better be booking your trips next summer for all the Mormon cultural events that will cease come 2020.
Oh, dear. All right. Now, you have a story about Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Chip and Joanna Gaines. So,
Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper. Many of you know them from their HGTV show, which has been wildly popular.
Mormon moms love them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Mormons love them like we love Disneyland.
Exactly. Exactly. And their show has spun off to a whole business called Magnolia. They've got these silos, and they have all sorts of decorating stuff. And a cafe, and it's, I guess it's a big like destination spot that people choose to go to Waco to go see this because they're in Waco, Texas. And so LDS Living did this article focusing on two LDS women who work for them. Mm-hmm. And these two women have very different backgrounds and are in very different places in their lives. The first one was a lady by the name of Emily Snyder. And she is a single woman. She had always thought, oh, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. And then that didn't happen. So she decides to go to school. And so she goes to school and she becomes a teacher. And after a few years of being a teacher, she is offered a job to be the secretary for the General Relief Society presidency. So she does that for a little while. And then she gets an offer to go to Boston and be an administrative assistant for Clayton Christensen at the Harvard School of Business. So while she's there working with all these business MBA types, she's like, I want to do that. You guys are nothing special. So she gets enrolled and accepted at Columbia University. And so she says, the first day she goes to class, or at least the first year of business school, they say to her, think about what you want to wear every day to work. Which, what an odd question.
So funny.
Hello, if you're in MBA school, you're going to be wearing a suit and tie every day to work.
That's what one would assume.
Or she would dress like the General Women's Relief Society presidency does, a lovely jacket and a skirt. But she says, I remember thinking, I want to wear what Joanna Gaines wears.
That is so funny.
I know. And so if you've seen her on the show, she dresses very cute. It's very kind of mom casual. I want to still do really good work and great things, but I don't want to have to be dressed to the nines. So she sets her sights on this Magnolia company. She cold calls them. She's like, I want an internship there. And she bugs them to the point that they give her an internship.
It's amazing.
And then they hire her. And then she has essentially just kind of worked her way up because she's now their chief of operations. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, the big kahuna there.
Yeah, she's up pretty high.
And she talks about when she first arrives in Waco. Waco's a very deeply religious city. And so she wants to learn to connect with these other religions. So she starts going to church service every Sunday to other services before her own 11 o'clock ward starts. And I think, well, how outside the box is that?
I know, that's very cool.
And she talks about, you know, the things that she learns from these other very Christian, you know, God-fearing, really, really good people. And then she also talks about how she chose to live deliberately, that she had all of these married friends who were marking milestones by things that their children were doing. She didn't have any children, so she decided, okay, I'm going to make a list of things I'm going to do, and that's how I'm going to mark my milestones.
Right.
And, you know, some of them were simple things like taking a floral design class or even as far as submitting art to an exhibit. And she talks about, I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstances. I'm not going to sit around waiting to be acted upon. I'm going to act. And she talks about all of the wonderful blessings she has received from the Lord because she has been willing to act. And I think so often we get stuck in that spot where we're just kind of stuck and we're like, Lord, come pull me out of it.
We're just waiting.
We're just waiting, you know. And I think it was a good reminder to, we need to be proactive. So the other woman that the article talks about is a Kelsey Monson, and she is a married woman who is a mother of, I believe, two or three children. So after she has her second child, she's kind of in a creative funk and feeling like, oh, I'm never going to be creative again. And she kind of starts a little Etsy shop, and her husband gets a job in Waco. And so she obviously moves to Waco, and she decides to apply to work with Magnolia as a designer. And she had felt prompted to do so by the Lord. And she thought, this is so counterintuitive to everything I've been taught.
Right.
But she just felt like the Lord was saying to her, don't worry, I got your back. You're going to be okay. And so she talks about how she's been able to rely on the Lord in balancing having a job and her children. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, kind of a really good testament to her faith as well.
Right.
And these two have become friends, obviously united in their same religious beliefs, mm-hmm. but sharing those beliefs with the people in the city of Waco and being open to the religious beliefs that surround them in the city of Waco.
Very cool.
It was a great article.
Dream job. Because yes. I think Chip and Joanna Gaines are like the new Oprah.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Women used to love Oprah. Now women love Chip and Joanna Gaines.
I know.
Oprah, they've transferred the love.
Oprah for the millennials.
Yes. Yes. So very cool. That was a fun article. Okay.
Okay. Finish this up here with the last article.
We have one last article. This was on LDS Living, and this is hilarious misheard hymn lyrics that will make you laugh out loud.
Okay.
So I thought this was funny. There are just pages and pages of hymn lyrics. They must have had people write in with what they thought the hymn said, especially when they were younger.
Yes.
So I'm just going to read a few of them. You'll have to go if you want to see them all. You'll have to go read the article. But
because it's funny.
It is funny. The first one, I was laughing so hard because it's high on a mountaintop. And I legit had a guy in my seminary class when I was a teenager that sang it this way.
Okay. So not how did
because,
he sing it?
Not because he believed it was this, but because he was being obnoxious.
Because he was a 14-year-old boy.
So this one, high on a mountaintop.
That is the definition of obnoxious.
That's right.
I know. I have one.
So it says, this guy who submitted this one said that when he was little, his dad thought the words were, high on a mountaintop, a badger killed a squirrel. Ye nations, now look up. He waves to all the world.
So he legit sang it that way in seminary.
Yeah, he sang the badger and the squirrel.
Okay. Did Brother Chandler do anything?
I don't think the teacher was aware.
Okay.
Seminary teachers,
you got to overlook a lot of stuff if you're going to be a seminary teacher.
That's right. You can't get caught up on the little things.
Exactly.
Like inappropriate hymn singing.
About badgers and squirrels killed on a mountaintop.
So I like this next one. It was Come Come Ye Saints. Somebody thought it said, Come Come Ye Saints, no toilet paper here.
Well, that there was probably some truth to that.
That is true. I'm sure there was
Although that is not the lyrics.
Yeah. There were several misheard lyrics to Praise to the Man.
Oh, okay.
One person thought it said, when appeared to heavenly beans, like lima beans.
As opposed to beings.
Right. Another person thought it said, praise to the man who confused with Jehovah.
Okay. No communing, just confusing.
That's right. Another person thought it said, traitors and titans still fight him in vain.
Well, you know, I've heard those titans are fighters.
Yes. America the Beautiful. Someone thought it said, oh, beautiful for spaceship skies.
Oh, dear.
There were tons of primary songs on there that were really funny. The things that the primary kids thought they heard. Hosanna songs. There were lots of people that said that their kids thought it said, oh, Santa.
Oh, Santa.
Instead of Hosanna.
So maybe we should petition the first presidency. Instead of the Hosanna shout, we have the, oh, Santa shout.
You don't think that would go over.
Probably not. That's maybe a little too outside the box for President Nelson.
Yes. So count your blessings. Someone thought it said, when upon life's pillows, you are tempest tossed.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch more on there, especially a lot of primary songs. So it's kind of fun.
We'll put the link on there.
Go check it out.
For your chuckling humor.
And you can laugh every time you hear those songs in church.
Okay, so it is now time in our podcast to move on to our favorite things. Before we get to our favorite things, I want to comment on one of your favorite things from last time. Mm-hmm. So last time you had encouraged our listeners to listen to a podcast called The Bible Binge, and it was done by some they're from the South. They're very religious. They're not LDS. They go through the Bible stories and kind of give not necessarily a pop culture spin on them, but more of a modern day spin so you can kind of understand them. So I have listened to about five of their shows since then.
Oh, good.
And so they started with the Old Testament. And let me tell you, I'm like so obsessed with the Old Testament now. Like I am legit interested in the Old Testament. Uh-huh. The other night when we were working at the temple, I had a little break. And so what do I go pick up? I go pick up the Old Testament and I start flipping through the Old Testament because I'm like, I want to read some more about this story I heard in the podcast. So
I know, aren't they great? They really bring it to life.
I know. It is It is legit like convincing me that we have got to send the missionaries to them because I really need them to do this to the Book of Mormon.
They need to.
So need to.
Somebody needs
to. So we need to figure out where they live.
Preferably them because they have Southern accents.
Exactly. And we got to get them converted.
Yeah,
we do. All right. So back to our current favorite thing. Okay.
So my favorite thing this week is actually an item that I purchased at Deseret Book.
Oh, you know,
I have mixed feelings about Deseret Book.
Yeah. If you want to know about her mixed feelings, go listen to our May 2018 podcast. Her feelings are on full display.
Yes. But I actually walked myself into the Deseret Book to buy this item. So this is a Book of Mormon family reader.
Okay.
And it's probably been out for a while, but I just found out about it. My friend Becky told me about it several months ago. And we had finally read the Book of Mormon all the way through for the first time as a family. We finished last spring and it had taken us years, like 5 years, literally. Okay. So we were like, okay, well, now we need to start over and our kids are probably going to revolt because it was rough.
They were like, we read it once. You want us to read it again? Are you kidding?
So my friend told me about this study guide and it has just been a really good little way for us, a different way for us to read the Book of Mormon. So it's a study guide. Each page has what should be like a 5-minute reading and study. So they go in chronological order of the Book of Mormon, but they take out snippets. Okay. So you're not reading every single verse.
Okay.
So like one page, it will tell the story of getting the plates from Laban. Yeah. And then it will actually have the scriptures printed on the page. So if you're in a bind, you don't have your scriptures, you could just grab the book and read the scriptures right out of the book. And then at the bottom, it has prompt questions for discussion. And that's what I'm really liking because we have a hard time getting discussion going.
Okay. This is very much like the new curriculum.
Oh, really?
Very much like the new curriculum.
I haven't even looked at it yet.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
So, you know, they have, you're reading little snippets here and there. You're being directed to read certain scriptures. Uh-huh. And then you have prompts. You have study questions that you can either, you know, ponder yourself or in a family setting, have a discussion.
Oh, very nice. We're already then.
You're already then. So
yeah, I'm really liking it. It's good. It says it should take about 5 minutes, but it probably takes more like 10 minutes for us to get through it, which is kind of the perfect amount of time for us right now, where we're at in our lives with our kids. And then it gives us these questions, which I have a hard time thinking of on my own, so we can discuss. And some nights our kids will discuss a little, and other nights it's like crickets.
Okay. Fair enough.
When we ask these discussion questions, but you know, it's up and down.
That's very fair.
But I'm liking it. It's working for us right now.
Okay. Well, good. And then, you know, you will just be able to roll into 2019 and the new curriculum without any problem.
Right.
All right. So
my
favorite thing this week, I am picking a podcast. If you have, and for the listeners out there, if you've listened to us before, you know that Ariane and I are big fans of the royal family. We might have gotten up in the middle of the night to watch Harry and Meghan's wedding, and we might have eaten scones while we did that. Maybe. And loved on the baby because the baby was born then.
The baby was little, and we do not regret that decision.
No, we do not regret that decision. I also got up in the middle of the night for Will and Kate's wedding and for Diana and Charles.
Oh.
Might go back a little ways.
Oh.
And Diana and Charles, you would have been way too young.
I was a little kid.
You were a little kid then. Anyway, so my favorite thing this week is a podcast that I ran across, and it is called Royally Obsessed. And it is these two women, and every week they do a weekly podcast. It's usually 45 minutes to an hour long, and they talk about the weekly happenings in the royal family.
Ooh.
So, of course, the last few weeks have been all about the royal tour that Meghan and Harry were on, commenting on things that they did on the royal tour. Of course, everything that Meghan was wearing, who the designers were, did they like it, did they hate it, gossipy stuff about other members of the royal family.
Oh, fun.
It's total fluff. I'm not going to admit it has any intellectual value whatsoever. But It's really fun. You know, I was listening to it last week when I was out on a walk, you know, nothing where I really had to like think about anything, but I wanted to be entertained. So, you know, it's a good, I'm cleaning my house sort of a podcast.
Nice. So, oh, I'm going to have to check that one out.
You are going to have to check that one out.
Those royals are fun. We think they're much more fun than our politicians.
So true.
Let's just watch them and see what they do.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up for tonight. Okay. Twim Nation, thank you so much for joining us. And please be aware and remember that you can find Twim in several different areas. If you have questions or comments, you can send an email to contact@thisweekinmormons.com. You can find Twim on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram.
We have an Instagram page.
We have an Instagram page.
Twim Sisters.
Or you can just go to thisweekinmormons.com, the actual page of Twim.
That's right.
And find Twim content. So we encourage you to do that. And thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.